if you think we're on the run.
Hello there, and welcome to episode 52 of the Dad's Army podcast. Oliver joins me once again. Hello, Oliver.
Hello, James.
What have we got coming up over the next hour or so?
Oh, how exciting is this? We're going to announce the winner of the Dad's Army podcast competition.
Finally.
Finally, but it's worth waiting for because we're going to have a member of the original cast announcing the winner on the show, which is very exciting. So stay tuned. In the meantime, we've got lots of wonderful feedback that you've sent in. But James and I are going to read out now.
We've got a superb amount of feedback. And I have to say right up front, thank you very much indeed for sending us all your thoughts, all of your opinions. We really do appreciate the time and effort that you put into sending us feedback. And we'd encourage you to send more.
Oh, please do. It's you guys we do this for. And it's an enormous pleasure. So we'll go through the email addresses at the end of the show. In the meantime, let's go through some feedback.
You're listening to the Dad's Army Podcast with James and Oliver.
Right, our first piece of feedback is from a chap called Glenn. Hello, Glenn, and thank you very much for your email. Hi, James and Oliver. Somewhere in one of your last 10 podcasts, you asked for unusual places people have listened to you, so I thought I would use it as an excuse to write in and tell you how much I have enjoyed your shows. I cannot remember when I first watched Dad's Army. I think it was when it first came out in the late 60s, early 70s. I have a vague recollection of watching it in Africa on an old black and white TV when I was a youngster. My father worked for the Foreign Office in what was then Northern Rhodesia, now Zambia. We left in 1969, 1970 when I was 10 to go to New Zealand. So it must have been one of the very early shows. Indeed, I think it would have been from series 1, 2 or 3.
Yeah, absolutely.
I can clearly recall watching it with my father and grandfather in the early 1970s once we got to New Zealand. Roll the clock forward 40 years and I am now in the UK, married with an 8-year-old son. I stumbled into BBC iPlayer and found Dad's Army being played on Radio 7. I work on my own from home, so played it whilst I was working as background noise. One day I had it playing and my son came through for dinner and started listening and became hooked.
Oh yes.
That's the way it should work.
It's pulling power.
For my 50th, I was given an iPod and one day I was in iTunes and noticed your podcast and thinking it was the actual episode being played, subscribed to it.
Oh,
so we subscribed by mistake.
Yeah.
But, you know. Yeah. Anyway, I'm glad you found us even by accident. I let it load onto my iPod to listen to it at a later date and promptly forgot about it.
This is getting better and better.
Oh,
I'm glad you wrote England.
This actually becomes a little bit poignant, this email, so which is why I was very keen to read this one out first. About 3 weeks ago, my son became seriously ill, and we landed up in hospital for a couple of weeks. In the first or second day, to fill his time, I gave him the iPod and played your podcast. He moaned that it was not the show and flicked to something else, so I thought nothing more of it. My wife and I were taking it in turns to sleep alongside his bed on an uncomfortable fold-out bed. In the early hours of one sleep this morning, I thought I would listen to your show to see what it was like and try and take my mind off things. It worked. Within half an hour, I was asleep and had become a convert. Now, there's two things I want to say here. One, first things first, we really hope that your son is on the mend.
Absolutely.
And, I've emailed Glenn since and he's told me that his son is home and things are improving, which is
good.
Great.
That's great.
And I'm obviously, personally, I'm very, very pleased that the podcast is helping people get through difficult times.
Yeah, particularly helping them sleep.
If we're helping you go to sleep.
You said something similar to Harold Snowd, which was featured on the last podcast.
I did. It was quite ironic, really.
Told Harold that you used to listen to It Sticks Out. No, not Sticks Out. The Dad's Army radio version. It used to help you go to sleep. And said, oh, great.
Well, I actually thought it was meant to be a compliment. And it's interesting because I think Glenn is supposed to be complimenting us as well, actually. And he does. He says, this is a bit of a backhanded compliment, but for the rest of the stay and night, and when I could during the day, I would listen to your show and it would take my mind off things long enough to go to sleep.
That's wonderful.
There is my unusual place in a camp bed alongside a bed on a hospital ward. We are now at a hospital and I still listen to Dad's Army with my son on the BBC iPlayer and in the evenings as I'm drifting off to sleep, I still listen to your shows on the iPod. I appreciate the amount of time and effort and dedication that is needed to produce the podcast to such a high quality as these. Well done and many, many, many thanks. You've made my life a little bit easier when I needed it. One other thing. I'm getting a bit bored with episodes 40 to 51. one of the podcasts, you mentioned you know how to get the earlier ones from iTunes. Can you please let me know how? Very quickly on that last point, lots of you have emailed in. And first of all, this isn't an iTunes problem. It's because their latest version is hopeless and doesn't allow you to get a back catalogue.
Can you still listen on the actual main podcast site?
Yes, that's the best way to do it. I suggest that you just go direct to dadsarmypodcast.com, go to the episode that you want to listen to, and press play, or you can press download, and it will download it, and then you can do what you like with the MP3 file. I am going to record a mini podcast on how to get the old episodes that I will email to people who actually asked me for it, so you will be able to download the shows onto iTunes. But thank you, Glenn. That's a wonderful piece of feedback. It takes up 3/4 of a side of A4, so I appreciate the time you put into
contacting us. Absolutely. No, thank you so much, Glenn. We're happy to make a bit of a difference, aren't we? Take people's mind
off.
It's why we do it, you know? Get away from the real world for an hour or so. Enjoy a bit of Dad's Army. The next email we have here is from Tom. Dear Dad's Army Podcast, I first came to your podcast after Oliver did an interview with someone on the DWO Who cast, which incidentally was Mr. Bernard Holly. Back when James used to host it, of course, James has now moved on in Doctor Who's circuit to a much better podcast, I understand, the DWP. I thought it would be a nice idea to try this podcast and enjoyed it. James, I want to say that I agree with what you say about Jones being the least good character in a brilliant group of characters. However, I disagree with you of what moments you don't like him in. If memory serves me right, you stated you didn't like Jones's antics but preferred his dialogue. I am the complete opposite. I like Jones's antics but not the dialogues. They're long-winded and, whilst they contribute to his character, several of them make me feel rather bored. It's really a bit of a flaw for me in an otherwise wonderful character. I would recommend the sitcom Grandad for you, Tom. You'd probably enjoy that enormously, Clive Dunn. Hear you soon, and I hope that I didn't add more debate. Well, when it comes to James and Jones, we go outside and he starts like punching lampposts just thinking about Jones.
some interesting points that you make there. I think on the whole you're right when you quote me as preferring his physical humour less than his dialogue. Jones's dialogue, when he's actually being straight, or when he's not coming out with comedic lines, I think are extremely well crafted, and I enjoy those particular sections of Clive Dunn's dialogue because there are so few of them.
Yeah.
The vast majority of them are long-winded, they're clichéd, and I think in a few episodes can be considered padding.
Mm.
So I kind of caveat what I've said before, and that's that I do like Jones's dialogue, but only parts of it.
Yeah.
There are times when I do find him genuinely funny, either through something that he does or through something that he says. So it's not a complete carte blanche, I just don't find Jones entertaining.
No.
I do, but with limits, and I certainly feel that he's the least well thought out character.
I think there's moments with Jones, like the lion has phones when he rings the cinema by mistake. Major Brooks! Yeah, I mean, you know, it's just, you couldn't have another character in that situation because they'd all obviously be a bit more bright and realise they were talking to a cinema.
Yeah, and this is the major problem for me with Jones's character. It's not just done for comedic effect, although it is done purely to try and be funny, but it's cheap.
Yeah.
It's something that I don't admire about Perry and Cross writing, is where they make Jones to be an idiotic child.
Yeah.
This is supposed to be an old campaigner. This is someone who has seen life, someone who's experienced war, and still remains incredibly patriotic and incredibly positive in an extremely difficult and adverse situation.
Yeah.
So why screw it up with just one character to make him... You know, I mean, he basically makes mistakes a child of about 8 or 9 years old would make. And I just do not buy into his character. So there we go. Well done, Tom. You forced yet another verbal essay from me on the character of Jones. But certainly don't apologise for adding to the debate. I think always...
Keep them coming, people. Absolutely. Keep them coming. This Jones debate, it's just getting hotter and hotter.
And I think I know there's another one of our listeners, Richard from New Zealand. Hello, Richard, if you're listening, has been pushing us to actually get something cast in stone in terms of our Jones episode. So we decided a little while ago to put Jones in court, and I will go off on another soliloquy, probably. And we would like some listeners to mount the defence of Jones. Now, a lot of you have said that you disagree with me in terms of Jones being a poor character. However, you haven't gone into a great deal of detail in terms of why he's a good character. So what I would like is for Oliver to read me all of the arguments on behalf of the listeners to tell me how wonderful Jones is, and I'll argue with him.
Absolutely.
So if you can send in your feedback in defence of Jones, put something like Jones episode in the subject title, but email it to, well, I think they ought to email it to Oliver@dadsarmypodcast.com.
Yeah, guys, I got to support you here. Let's give James plenty of reasons why Corporal Jones is a wonderful character, if not your favourite or the best character in Dad's Army. Let's face it, everyone calls out, don't panic if they think about Dad's Army. Well, we don't want you guys to panic. We want you to write in. Let us know. Let us know.
And we'll aim to put that episode out either at Christmas time or the New Year.
Oh, we'll make it a special one.
So, yeah, we'll really get a turn on that one. So get your Jones feedback in. Anyway, moving on. Our next piece of feedback is from a chap called Peter. Hello, James. I just want to take the time to say thanks for creating the Dad's Army podcast. I look forward to each new instalment. My name is Peter, and I live in the USA. Doesn't say which part of the USA, but
it's a big place.
It's a big, massive. Place. Yeah, I'm a proud fan of Dad's Army and enjoy viewing my DVD collection again and again. There is always something new to see, even in episodes that I've seen many times. Whether it be a facial expression or gesture of one of the characters, it is entertainment pure and simple, and your podcast only increases the fun. Thanks and best wishes. Thanks ever so much, Peter. It's a really good piece of feedback, and I agree. It's a bit like an onion, Dad's Army. There are several layers.
Yeah, there
and,
are.
You can appreciate them time and time again. And yes, there's new things to watch every time you you watch an episode.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned Richard Goulstone just a moment ago. I've got an email from Richard. Hello, Richard. I hope you're well. And Richard writes, hello, James and Oliver. Great podcast. Just listened to it today. And I'm not just saying that because I had two emails read out. Well, now it's it's three. Look at this. It's great to hear what other people think about the show and their ideas. Whoever thought an hour of talking about a TV show could be so enjoyable? Well, we do our best, you know. It's not too bad. You guys make it worthwhile. A couple of comments, Richard continues. One listener said that the ending of The Royal Train was redone. This could be correct. If you have a look at the background at the end when they are getting a soaking, it is different from the actual train that they are standing in front of in the scene just before. Different shade of colour and shapes and not metallic. So this scene has been done at a different location and time. Definitely a question for Frank. I did actually pose it to Frank, and he said he didn't have an idea, you know, couldn't remember. I mean, Frank's in the scene, isn't he? But I don't think he gets a close-up.
No, he definitely remembers getting a bucket of water in the face.
Yeah.
And I think Mannerin, Arthur Lowe, also got a bucket of water in his face as well, but you don't see that in the episode either.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah. So, sorry, I've not been awfully helpful there.
It's not you, it's these darn actors.
Yeah, yeah, they just can't remember. Richard continues, also the Aussie, boo hiss, sorry, I have to do that, I'm a Kiwi, it's inbuilt. Who did the very good MP3 with the clips from The Love of Three Oranges was completely right. That is something I noticed the very first time I watched it. Maybe you don't notice because you're used to a different British accent. Oh, this is about Ian Lavender sounding like he's got a different accent. Not only is Frank Pike speaking and acting weird, but the whole special is off a bit. They are all acting slightly out of character. Watch a normal episode from series 7 or 8, then watch the special and you will see what I mean. I noticed there was over a year's gap between this special and the last Dad's Army filming, so I wonder if they had forgotten what to do. Luckily, it was all back to normal for the final series. Maybe Frank could shed some light on this as well. Well, in fact, they were on stage throughout that entire year. That's why there was no series that year, but they were on tour for, well, 6 months at the Shaftesbury and then 6 months touring around the country. So they were very much in character, but a different kind of performance. You know, they've done it on stage in front of hundreds of people every night for months. So maybe they were giving a different kind of performance. And
it's possible, I suppose. I think the accents, I mean, first of all, we would tell the difference. Being from the UK, we're very, very good at picking up regional dialects here just because there are so many different regional dialects in such a small geographical area. So yes, we would notice, Richard, definitely. And we did notice when we listened to the MP3 that was sent in.
Well, it's possible. I mean, Ian was working a lot outside of Dad's arm. It's possible he just played a part where he was with a a Scouse accent or anything.
It's possible. And sometimes people use regional dialects, particularly in the UK, just for comedic effects.
Yeah.
And Jasper Carrot does that. Frank Skinner does that. And just the way you say a set of words sometimes is funny.
Yeah.
And maybe Ian Lavender decided it was funnier to have his voice tail up at the end, perhaps. Who knows? And I also think there is certainly something to be said for acting in a different way when you're on stage, because you're in a completely different environment. It's completely alien to you if you're a TV actor. And these characters, of course, are very much at home on set.
Yes.
And when they're in an alien environment makes it sound like they're on Mars, but when they're on the stage instead of in front of TV cameras, then I'm sure it's a very different feeling for the actors. So that may have resulted in a slightly different performance, perhaps.
Well, perhaps we should do The Love of Three Oranges as our Christmas commentary podcast. Who knows?
Oh, we could do. I think years ago now, we did it as a Christmas special. We did a review for it.
Maybe we should try and get Mr. Lavender in to do it himself.
That would be a slight coup, certainly.
Yeah, it would be good.
But I have to say also, Richard, I haven't noticed that particular special is off, as you put it. I've never noticed that the characters are slightly different, I've got to say. I will have another look at it, or perhaps, maybe not deliberately, but when I watch it next time, I'll certainly bear it in mind.
Well, Richard, just continue and finish off reading the above two comments. I think I need to get out more. No!
Well, possibly.
Let us... He's lovely, isn't he? Let us know in plenty of time when the Jones show is. I want to send in a supporting comment for my favourite character. Thanks, Richard Goulster.
Well, I think we've probably addressed this the wrong way around, but refer to our earlier conversation concerning the Jones episode.
Yeah.
Our next piece of feedback is from Reese Thompson, who's based in Sunderland. Hey, Oliver and James. Just a quick message to let you know that I really appreciate the work that you put into the podcast. I, like most people who watch Dad's Army at my age, got into the programme by watching it with my granddad.
Same here.
It's now around 8-9 years since I watched my first episode, and from that moment, I was captivated. The interaction between the characters and the attention to detail, most importantly, the humour that is just enchanting, grabbed me by the clothes and never let go.
Wow, well, good job it grabbed you by the clothes.
Yeah, it could have been painful otherwise, but certainly a good metaphor there. Well done, Reese. My favourite episode is most probably Don't Forget the Diver, as it was my earliest Dad's Army memory. And I have to say, I love that episode.
It's a great episode.
And Paul from the Appreciation Society and myself reviewed that probably over a year or so ago now. So if you want to go back through our back catalogue, you'll be able to find, a relatively deep analysis of Don't Forget the Diver.
Just don't do it through iTunes.
No. Do you know, I've actually been to the location on Don't Forget the Diver. You know,
really?
The church?
Yeah.
Where you've got the verger takes the phone out of the...
with the vicar.
I've lent on it.
Look at this. He's just amazing.
No, it was amazing being, just standing there.
Yeah, but it was.
And then we had the vicar, because it was with Frank Williams as well, and he was telling us all about the filming. And it seemed just a little bit poignant because he was telling us all about the verger. And of course, he wasn't there.
Yeah.
And when you see it on television, the vicar is only in that churchyard for a very small period of time. It's Edward Sinclair who's there much more.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, back to Reese's email. I think my favourite character is either the vicar, there's a vote for Frank there, or Godfrey, particularly as he reminds me so much of my grandfather. Therefore, I have a dislike for Branded, as Arnold Ridley's performance never fails to bring a lump to my throat with the heartbreaking punishment he faces. However, I do adore it as a piece of drama, and it is an interesting comment on a social situation Conchie's faced. Your podcast seems to me to have the same heart of Dad's Army, that loyal connection between the two hosts and between the two hosts and us, the audience, with gentle arguments and mickey taking.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I never take the mickey out of Oliver.
Oh, I certainly never take a mickey out of...
Never.
Out of Rockcliffe.
No. Can't think of anything derisory to say. I should have planned that one. Anyway, Reese finishes off. I recently split up with my girlfriend, and your podcast made the time much easier. I am particularly interested in your stories of Thetford and Bressingham. As living in the northeast and being a student, it will take me a long time till I shall be able to visit. Well, sorry you split up with your girlfriend, Reese, but once again, we find ourselves saying the same kind of sentiment, really, to the chap whose email we read out earlier. I'm very glad that the podcast is helping you get through difficult times.
Absolutely, and just remember, every time you leave an Ivy Sandways, there's always a Mrs. Fox around the corner.
Are you encouraging him or trying to cheer him up, poor guy?
Well, yeah, we've all been through heartache, but there's always someone around the corner you just don't know.
Absolutely true. Anyway, thank you very much indeed, Reese, for your email.
Yeah, thank you, Reese. Next up is Russell Ashmore. Hi, James. Is there a link from the Dad's Army Appreciation Society website to your podcast? If not, there certainly should be. Is there?
Yes.
There is. Excellent sight and well spoken. Well, that's James rather than this Devonshire lad speaking now. Saw you at the meal Saturday. Very well done. I was sitting next to Jimmy Perry. Ooh, that's not bad going, is it? Well done, Russell.
This was presumably at the Appreciation Society's annual members meal,
right,
which we covered in the last podcast. And it's going back sometime now. So, yes, I probably did see you, Russell, because I can remember where Jimmy Perry was sitting. And, yeah, of course, I interviewed him very briefly as well.
Yeah.
I said about three sentences. He came back with about 49 paragraphs.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Yes, indeed. Really, really good evening that was. And I hope you enjoyed it, Russell.
Well, Russell then says, take down that man's name, which is a nice piece of fun. Thank you, yes, we certainly will.
The name has been taken,
yeah,
as has yours.
As has yours, Russell Ashmore. Thank you very much. Thank you for your email.
And that leads into our next piece of feedback from Rosie. Hi, James. I did enjoy your interviews with Jimmy Perry, Michael Knowles and Harold Snowd on the Saturday night. I'd only gone on the weekend to accompany my son, who is a huge fan, but found it great fun. Maybe we will go again. Thanks, Rosie.
Well, this often happens, doesn't it, where people get into something with someone else and they think, oh, you know, go along and support them. But then, suddenly, we've got new fans of the show. It's more proof that it's timeless and that it can entertain all ages.
Absolutely. And I hope, Rosie, you get to hear this podcast. I hope you liked the evening or the celebration of Dad's Army so much that you've now subscribed to the podcast and you can hear us read out your message and respond.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, it's a little bit sad.
This is fantastic. This is my favourite so far because this actually helps me with, you know, we were talking about banter a minute ago. Hi there, Jams and Oliver. Your Jams now.
Very sweet.
Yeah. Very tasty.
very sweet.
Sweet. Hey!
Very good.
Oh-ho! You
need to get a cymbal.
Yeah. Sorry, this is from Nick Daniels. Hi there, James and Oliver, Jams and Oliver. I have had a listen to episode 49 of the Dad's Army podcast, and I liked it a lot. I think you both do the podcast well. A few bits and pieces cropped up in my mind whilst listening to this, and I would like to put them down here on this email. I'm loving this email, Nick. I really am. This is marvellous. First of all, the annoying aspects of characters in Dad's Army. Well, I guess each character in Dad's Army does have an annoying thing about them, not just Jones and Pike. For example, Mannering's pomposity and ambition, Jones's rambling, Fraser's defeatist attitude, Pike's being a kind of mummy's boy, not that this is his fault, of his, I venture to add, and Godfrey's getting caught short. I guess these small, annoying factors are what makes for characters. Absolutely.
I completely agree with that last bit. In fact, I'll go as far as to say it's the only part of the paragraph that I agree with, I'm afraid, Nick. These aren't annoying aspects of characters. I think they are mannerisms or they are character traits built into the characters. My concern is that I don't think they've done it anywhere near as well with Jones, surprisingly. But I'm not going to continually go to the same place there. I wouldn't say they're annoying.
No, no.
But a lot of them are funny. But not all of them.
Well, I need you on my team for the Jones podcast, Nick, because this is gold dust. So please do email in so that we can, you know, put up a good defence for Corporal Jones, because I think you're onto something here. As for that little thing about Pike's accent, well, I can tell you that his accent is more Cockney than anything else. Is it?
No. Sorry. No.
I mean, it starts off in the you know, series 1 and 2. You know, when obviously it's early days. I mean, he does have more of an accent than in later series. Yeah, when he's sort
absolutely.
Of, he's, you know, he's Uncle Arthur. You know.
Well, and he also lifts his voice quite a bit. He pitches up.
Yeah.
I think that's probably the best way of putting it. And he does that for most. He does it for all of the first two series, of which he's hardly in. The third series, he continues with that kind of high pitch. But after that, I would say that it's just a London accent, and I wouldn't say it's Cockney. I mean, if anyone's Cockney, it's Walker. Sorry, I can't agree with that. No, but anyway.
I mean, you're listening to right East End London boy here, aren't we, mate? we've got to watch this chap.
I'm an Essex lad.
He's an Essex lad, he is. Blimey. And finally, Nick continues, as per Cissy Godfrey's last performance in The Battle of Godfrey's Cottage. Not necessarily. She appeared again in the third series in the two episodes The Day the Balloon Went Up and War Dance. Small roles, I grant you, but she does appear in them. Did we say that it was her last?
No, I don't think so. I think you
mentioned
commented.
That was the... I think I explained that it was the actress's last performance before she died. But yes, the character did... you're absolutely right, did appear again, played by Nan Braunton, off the top of my head, I believe. Like I said, your podcasts are great. Keep up the good work. Best wishes, Nick. P.S. The competition that you've put up is a piece of cake. Well, we'll see whether it's a piece of cake soon, because we'll announce the winner. And who knows, Nick? Maybe it'll be you getting those DVDs. Keep tuned, peeps. No, thank you very much for your email, mate, and we'd love to hear from you. And please do email in regarding Jones.
Absolutely.
We need you on my team.
Hi, James. Let me introduce myself. My name is Richard Knight from Letchworth Garden City, Hearts. I'm a 50-year-old Dad's Army fan, although my wife, Roz, isn't, and just don't get it. Is it a girl thing? Well, is that true? I mean, do you know many female Dad's Army fans?
No.
No? In fact, most of the women who I know who have heard of Dad's Army actively hate it.
Yeah,
I mean, my wife included.
Yeah, my girlfriend just doesn't get it either. But she gets it, but, you know, it doesn't sit there laughing her head off like I do, you know. No, I suppose it's a sort of... But then again, I don't really get absolutely fabulous, to be honest, you know.
No, nor do I. I don't find that particularly funny either. No. And that's billed as a girl's program. I mean, it is interesting because you wonder why it appeals to the male demographic a little bit more. And my wife thinks it's because there are so few female characters. And I'm not sure whether or not that really makes any kind of sense. I mean, having said that, the example of Absolutely Fabulous, of course, is full of female characters.
Yeah.
And it doesn't appeal to many men.
No.
So maybe there is some truth to that theory. But I think if a program is genuinely funny, it will cross demographic boundaries, you know, very, very easily.
I think I'm sure Dad's Army, obviously, in its heyday, did have a mixed audience. I'm sure women did like it as much as men. It was a family entertainment. I think with the repeats and perhaps the younger generation, it's more boys picking it up. You know, perhaps through the interest of the army. But, you know, both my nan and my nana like Dad's Army, you know, but it's younger women, I don't know. But then again, you know, it's no written rule.
No, it's an interesting point you make there, Rich, and I hadn't really thought about it before. But anyway, just to let you and all the other ranks know that Ian Lavender will be appearing and doing a signing at, well, it's a place called Autographica, which is the world's largest autograph show, on the 24th and 25th of September at the Thistle Hotel, London Heathrow, which at the time of recording, I think is tomorrow. No, not tomorrow, the day after tomorrow.
Okay.
So by the time you hear this, it would have taken place, I'm afraid. So please don't make any arrangements to go down to the Thistle Hotel in Heathrow to go and see Ian Lavender. But you won't be there. He would have gone. But it's quite interesting that the cast are still getting out and about.
Well,
and,
oddly
and signing
enough,
things.
Would you believe, Frank Williams, Ronnie Grange and I were going to a screening of a short film that I made starring both Ronnie and Frank. And whilst Frank and Ronnie were waiting for me to arrive, who walked past them? Ian Lavender. So what are you two boys doing out here? And so they walked down because Ian was on his way to the Palladium where he's starring in Sister Act. And so what are the chances of two stars of Dad's Army meeting each other on the corner of Regent Street? It really is a small world. And so they had a nice little catch-up.
It's funny, actually, because you hear actors when they talk about their experiences and they say, oh, I just ran into Laurence Olivier and he was coming out of... Well, you know, the McDonald's, Wimpy Bar or something, you know. And you think, well, why doesn't that ever happen to me? Do you know, I don't think I've ever seen anyone famous, with the exception of Steve Davis, getting his hair cut when I was a boy.
I bumped into Steve Davis and W.H. Smith once in York. So, yeah, quite literally.
Well, he gets about a bit, doesn't he?
Yeah, Steve, he was reading a fishing magazine.
Thank you very much for that email, Rich. Really, really good to know that the cast are still getting out and about.
Yeah, no, it's very kind of you to let us know that Ian's up, and we'll try and be a bit more prompt in replying. Now, to finish off, we've got an email from Stuart Wright. Stuart's obviously quite a massive figure in terms of keeping Dad's Army alive in Thetford, in Norfolk. We've both met Stuart. Mm-hmm. Lovely chap. James Oliver, just listened to the podcast. Thank you for your kind words and excellent coverage of a statue unveiling. I think I should point out that it was the Thetford's Dad's Army Museum that organised the parade, the stage show and statue fundraising, procurement and siting, not the town council. I would be grateful if you would mention this fact in the next podcast. Whilst keeping the town council informed, it was the museum volunteers that did all the work and thus deserve the credit for all their efforts. Well, then here we are with credit. Thank you for correcting us. It may be of interest that the town is really benefiting from the draw of the statue, and this is brought out by an article in our local paper, Thetford and Brandon Times, stating the increase in visitor numbers as a result of the statue.
I think that's good news, and I think clearly there is a commercial reason as to why Thetford have begun to try and capitalise on their association with Dad's Army, and in my view, it's about time. They've been very, very lax. I mean, on actually trying to draw people in. I'm pleased that they've been able to do it, and the particular article that Stuart sent in said there were about 300 to 400 additional visitors over a specific period this year when you compare it to last year. And I think that's got to be something to do with the statue and a lot of the press. 300 to 400, I guess, is not a huge increase, but I'm still very pleased that they are benefiting. And I sincerely hope that they continue to kind of exploit Dad's Army. And I'm using that word quite deliberately.
Yeah.
There is a commercial opportunity there that the residents of Thetford will benefit from. Certainly the money going into the town, profile of the town increases. And of course, people like you and me, Oliver, benefit, Dad's Army fans, because there are some really exciting, innovative initiatives going on in Thetford. We've covered several of them on the podcast in the past. So I am really pleased that it does seem to be working.
And I can't wait to go to the Marigold Tea Rooms. That's the next exciting initiative that Stuart and the Dad's Army Thetford Museum are working on. So that's exciting stuff. Stuart continues, also you may wish to let Dad's Army fans know about the renaming of the rooms in the Bell Hotel too. Private Pike's Bar, interesting. The Warmington-on-Sea Restaurant. Corporal Jones's Bar. The Sergeant Wilson Room, that one, I love that, that's marvellous, the Sergeant Wilson Room, and Warden Hodges's Lounge.
What do you think of that? Good idea?
I think it's a... What were they before?
They were various different rooms. I'm not even sure if they were named.
Were they Dad's Army related?
No, not at all.
Oh, I see. No, well, I suppose it's a nice thing to do.
I mean, the Bell have never really capitalised on their connection with Dad's Army either, quite frankly, in the past. And I think in the past, under previous management, they've been quite reliant on people thinking, I'm glad I'm staying at the Bell because it's associated with Dad's Army. And they've almost used that as an excuse, not necessarily to provide superb service.
Mm.
I think there is a completely different attitude there now. At the Bell, and they've given it a coat of paint, that's the very least of what they've done, and they've decided to name all the rooms after various different characters. And I like the idea, but I do think there is a balance to be struck here and you don't want to go OTT. Now, as Dad's Army fans, and we all know, you know, Private Pike, but if you're coming into Thetford and you've got Private Pike's Bar, what's to prevent you from thinking, well, why is this named after a fish and why is it private? You know, I mean, I'm being a little bit anal deliberately, but what I'm trying to say is that I think they've got to be careful not to assume that this is going to appeal to everybody. I think the positive way of looking at it is that if people don't know why it's called Sergeant Wilson's Room, they'll ask someone.
Yeah.
And I just hope that there is the expertise within the staff at the Bell to provide a decent answer, because what they've done in the past is hide their Dad's Army credentials under a bushel, really, and all you really had was a photograph in the foyer.
Yes.
That said Dad's Army was either filmed in Thetford, I can't remember precisely what it was now, but it wasn't particularly prominent and it wasn't that detailed. So as far as I'm concerned, I do think it's a good idea. And of course, you know, in a cavalier fashion, you can say, well, it'd be great to get Fraser's Undertakers in the high street, and it'd be great to get Swallow Bank there as well, and all that kind of stuff.
Well,
but you've got to draw a line where it's sensible, I think.
Well, it's funny you should mention that, because Stuart continues that the local butcher in King Street is changing its name to Jones's and is selling Warmington Bangers.
Well, you see, I don't have a problem with that at all. And the reason being is that it's Jones.
Yeah.
Who's gonna care? It's a little bit of added extra, if you like, for people who do appreciate the reference. Warmington Bangers clearly is a bit more of an in-joke. But yeah, as I said, I'm generally supportive of what Thetford are doing. I do think they should maximise their connection with the programme and the existing car surviving crew and so on. But I don't think they should turn it into something that is just grotesquely promoting something. It's so obviously. And they haven't got anywhere near that territory thus far. Well, what's your opinion? I'm somewhat a little bit controversial, perhaps, but
I'm quite laid back, really. I mean, I stayed in the hotel in Paris where all the names of the rooms were, you know, named after French painters and people like that, and musicians and things. So, I mean,
I think that's probably a little bit different to a niche or what is now a cult program. I mean, French painters, if you stayed in the Leonardo da Vinci suite,
yes,
that's all right.
Yeah,
you stay in the Captain Mannering room, which they haven't done, and I'm exaggerating to prove a point.
Yeah,
people might wonder what on earth is going on.
Can't
we have a normal room with a number on it?
Yeah.
But anyway, as I said, I'm deliberately being slightly cynical. I want to try and represent both sides here, and I'm not trying to be negative in any way, but we'll see what else happens in terms of celebrating Dad's Army in Thetford.
Absolutely. Stuart finishes off. Keep up the good work and speak to you soon. Best wishes, Stuart Wright.
Thanks very much indeed for getting in touch, Stuart.
Now, it's the moment we've all been waiting for. It's the announcement of the competition winner.
Absolutely. But before we actually say who has won a complete set of Dad's Army DVDs, we thought it was only right to go through the answers.
Absolutely. So just to remind you one more time, here is the competition.
Who do you think you...
One of you is a murderer. Very soon, I shall reveal the identity.
Well, can we fall out and have a bit of a smoke while we're waiting in, Sarge?
Yeah, no, I'd rather you didn't, if you don't mind.
Our Corporal Jones, you see that word?
Yes, sir.
Have you done that?
Do you mean recently, sir?
Mensch, guck mal die Zeit. Typisch britische Untuchtigkeit. Es sind nun schon 10 Minuten her, seit wir abgeschossen worden sind. Und keiner hat uns gefangen genommen.
Kein Wunder, Sie verlieren den Krieg.
Ja, ja, natürlich. Was ist das?
Just a minute, Captain Mannering. Yon drum holds 50 pounds. It will go on longer. Something like...
God, Mannering, you can hit pretty low when it suits you.
Sergeant Wilson, take your trousers off.
Tiddlypot.
What is it?
Who do you think?
I dreamed of a marble hall
with a little art oil and a feather. And when I awoke, I found it no joke. He was tanning, but...
Get out of here.
Dreddy with his gun. Show who?
To Britain's Home Guard.
the Britons on guard.
It won't work, Walker.
Okay, you heard 11 clips from 11 different episodes there, and we're going to go through them. So, number one, which was Ian Lavender doing a very good impression of a Chinaman, was from...
High Finance.
Indeed. Number two, where Walker was asking to fall out and have a bit of a smoke, that was from Branded.
And then you've got Captain Mannering asking Corporal Jones if he's done anything like that recently. That's the day the balloon went up.
Which was the one that practically everyone who entered got correct. Yes. Yeah, so that was a relatively easy one.
The next one was a lot more complicated. Who was it? Is it Ian Lavender? Is it supporting?
What, the German conversation? No, there were two supporting artists in the Enemy in the Gate who have bailed out. They're just talking. There's actually subtitles on screen during that particular episode. It's an old black and white one. So number four was The Enemy Within the Gates. All Is Safely Gathered In was one that foxed a few people, and that was Fraser making raspberry noises.
Yes.
With a Tommy gun. And then you had a slight montage. You had three lines that I edited together into one sentence, essentially. The one where Wilson accuses Mannering of hitting pretty low, that's it, yes, was from...
War Dance.
Sergeant Wilson was told to take his trousers off in...
Asleep in the Deep.
And Tiddlypots was from Wilson's drunk scene in...
The Miser's Hoard.
Indeed. The song.
Yes, the rather wonderful.
Intoxicated song that James Beck and Clive Dunn performed was from The Arm of Might of Lance Corporal Jones. The toast to Britain's Home Guard was Never Too Old. And the final one, which was particularly tricky.
Yes, it won't work, Walker.
It won't work, Walker. We had lots of emails about that saying, cool, can't figure out what on earth this one is. And a few listeners managed to figure out that because it had a hiss behind it, it was from a black and white episode. Because they haven't cleaned up the audios on a DVD very well there. And that was from Operation Kilt.
You cunning listeners. Ooh, 74 of you got it right. And now, to announce the winner, it's none other than an original cast member of Dad's Army. It's Mr. Frank Williams.
Thank you.
Now, you have heard this particular competition, haven't you?
I have indeed, yes.
Okay, and out of the 11, how many did you get right?
One.
That's very, very good. And very honest. Oliver, how about you?
Well, to be honest with you, I probably only 3 and 4, to be honest. Very many. I commend the fact that we've had 74 correct answers. It's quite amazing.
Yeah, well, it was a little bit overwhelming. When we first put the competition out, I was overwhelmed in the first few weeks because we had an incredible number of entries. So it's been really good just trying to, you know, cipher out the correct answers and so on. And I'm just trying to build up to the winner, really. Yeah.
How lucky we are to have an original member of the Dad's Army cast to pick the competition winner. So I'll leave it to the lovely Frank to pick at random a number between 1 and 74.
Okay, before I do that, can I just say that of the 10 I didn't recognise, I didn't even know they were from Dad's Army. So there we go. Okay, a number random, 39.
This is the drum roll. Number 39
is... Mitch! We've got someone called Mitch who's entered. So, Mitch, you haven't given a surname or where you're from, but obviously we've got your email.
Indeed,
but
yeah.
Mitch, you are the lucky winner of...
A complete set of Dad's Army DVDs. So, congratulations, Mitch. I'll send you an email probably before this podcast actually goes out. So, congratulations, and thank you very much indeed, everyone else, who put all the time and effort into entering the competition. It seems to have gone down remarkably well, so I think we'll do this again at some point, perhaps with not so many clips this time.
What do you reckon?
If 74 people managed to get that one right, that's kind of amazing. I mean, I don't know anything about all these things. I mean, I get one out of 11, and the fans get 74. 74 people get all that right. Mm. I mean, I can't believe that. Anyway, well done, Mitch. Well deserved.
Absolutely. And I think for the time being, that concludes this episode of the podcast. Now, for the very first time, we have not had the time to go through all of the feedback received. We will get to it in future podcasts. So if you have sent in messages and we haven't read them out, then do stick with us. We will get to it in the future. Coming up in a couple of weeks, you have a commentary episode on My British Buddy.
Oh, yes.
Yes, which Oliver and I recorded a long time ago now, didn't we?
It's a funny episode, right? It's not bad.
No, lots of things to say about My British Buddy, but... Until next time, indeed. Thanks very much for tuning in. Remember to send your feedback in to us, james@dadsarmypodcast.com or...
oliver@dadsarmypodcast.com or follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/dadsarmypodcast or twitter.com/olivercrocker.
And in the meantime, take care and we'll speak to you soon. Bye for now.
See you again. Bye-bye. Hi James, is there a link from the DAAS? Hi James, is there a link from the DAAS?
Say the Appreciation Society, is that right? Hi James, I did enjoy your interviews with Jimmy Perry, Michael Knowles and Harold Snowd on the Saturday night. I'd only gone on the weekend to accompany my son, who is a fugitive.
Fugitive,
yes.